WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
What do you think of when you hear the word design? Maybe fashion? Photoshop? Characters in video games? What about urban planning, street art, or choreography? Well, there's a spot in the loop that wants to contextualize and humanize the ways that design shapes our everyday lives. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. All summer, we've been taking you off the beaten path to museums, galleries, and collections that you won't find on museum campus. Last week, two producers took a trip to the Busy Beaver Button Museum, an intimate spot in Logan Square that has collected 60,000 pinback buttons. And this week, two team members checked out the Design Museum of Chicago. We were joined in the studio by Reset production intern Ellie Gilbert Bear to talk about their visit. Ellie, however, didn't go alone. She was joined by me. Surprise! So in another twist, I got out of the host seat and I passed my mic to WBEZ midday anchor Lisa Labez.
All right.
Hey, I'm with you.
All right. Oh my goodness.
Hey, Sasha.
Hey, Lisa.
Ellie, hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the show today.
Thank you so
much. I'm Lisa Ann Labez, in for Sasha Ann Simons.
Good to meet you.
And you're a guest today.
I am.
First time ever.
First time ever.
Well, that's pretty fun. All right, so let's chit-chat about this design museum. Sasha, you mentioned Reset's been profiling these really awesome museums all summer. You went to the Bridge House Museum on the Chicago Riverwalk, the Gemstone Museum in Oak Brook, and now tell us why you and Ellie wanted to visit the Design Museum of Chicago this week.
So I was very interested, Lisa, in focusing on a place that had an art focus, right? And so this kind of stems back a couple of months ago. I took a trip back to DC and I ran into a friend who's actually a curator out there. And we got to talking about Chicago and galleries here locally. And he was asking me about different ones that we've probably, focused on the show. And I noticed that as I was naming them, they were all sort of the more well-known places, right? Right on museum campus. And
sure.
I said, okay, I think it's time to find some others. And so the Design Museum of Chicago sort of came on our radar and it was the perfect fit. It's also in a great location right in the heart of the city at 72 East Randolph Street. So we said, why not?
All right, but design, I mean, you said in your intro, Ellie, what are we talking about here? Is this fashion design? What kind of design?
Yeah, so design can really be anything, and I know that's a little bit of a non-answer, but it really is constantly evolving. You know, graphic design and app design weren't really things 100 years ago. AI art, CGI are becoming more and more realistic, which I personally find very scary. And to me, what connects all these different types of design is just kind of the creativity, the intentionality that goes into making and shaping something, whether that be aesthetically or functionally. You know, it's about creating systems, beauty, and accessibility. Here's Kevin Reeder, the Executive Director of Programming and Operations at the Design Museum, talking about their approach to design.
We're not here to say this is what design is and what it shall always be. It will always be iterative and changing. And so our job is to hold up a mirror to society, reflect and refract those ideas back in new and interesting and compelling ways.
Okay, so Ellie, tell us a little bit more about the roots of this museum.
Yeah, they started as a small group of volunteers back in 2012. They were hosting pop-ups. Their first was in an old office space in Humboldt Park. They also told us about a pop-up in a moving Blue Line car. They collabed with the Chicago Loop Alliance to make an exhibit on typography, which was my favorite that they told us about. They mentioned that they like to recognize design where it lives and where people already see it, which is why I love the Blue Line car pop-up. You know, typography is everywhere from traffic signs to train stops to ads. So it really kind of makes you think about how your world is being designed around you. And now they have a permanent space.
Okay, all right. So, anything to add with that, Sasha?
Yeah, I mean, they've got this permanent space, Lisa, but they're also still doing pop-ups today, which I thought was really cool, including one that you may have seen. It's downstairs mm-hmm. here at Navy Pier. When you're walking sort of toward one of the ice cream shops, you'll walk through what's called Chicago Home of House. It's a full exhibit on house music and how it's been born, of course, right here in Chicago. And so some people might recognize the exhibit because it first lived in the Silver Room back in 2020. And so now it's here at Navy Pier, and it talks about house music, and it has like pioneering DJs like Frankie Knuckles and other legends. And then it also talks about the house fashion scene too. So I thought that that was pretty cool that they're still doing that type of thing.
Okay. All right. But Sasha, I want to stay with you. They have a current exhibit. What's on display on that?
So the current exhibit at the Design Museum is called Voices Embodied Reverberations. Now, this is the fifth iteration of the Voices Embodied series by curator Alex Stark. And this one, it brings together 18 artists. This is the biggest one he's done. 18 artists and designers. They're from all across the country and the world, Lisa. And it basically reflects on barriers both individually and societally when it comes to disability. So specifically bringing attention to different types of bodies, bringing attention or suggesting ways that we can tackle stigma and just reimagine a world that's more inclusive where everyone is equally valued. So it was a really deep exhibit, right?
Yeah,
so
it was, and I was not expecting you to say that. That's permanent exhibit.
One of the things I said to Alex when I was there, I was like, I've never seen anything like this before. Like this was truly a first.
Okay. All right, let's go through the space, Ellie. What can people see, hear, and feel when they move through that?
Yeah, so when you walk in, there is a beautiful window space that's full of light. I was super excited because we actually saw a mini Buttonomania machine, which are from the Busy Beaver Button Museum, which we visited last week. If you missed that, you can check that out at wbez.org/reset. But so there's a little Buttonomania. There's also some pieces. There's a guest book, which is actually a massive block filled with signatures. So Sasha and I both signed it on our way out.
There's hardly any space left, but we found some.
Yeah. And then there's a wall that's detailing the past 20 years of design in Chicago. And then past that is the exhibit that Sasha was just talking about. And then in the very back, they have a vault, which is this immersive little cubby hole that's very echoey, has dim lighting. And then throughout the whole museum right now, there are lavender walls. And here's curator Alex Stark talking about that choice.
The purple was kind of worked in a functional way to unite the different spaces in my mind. But purple's always been one of my favorite colors. And I wanted something really bright. Like I wanted the brightness and the pride and all the work, you know, as you can see, is pretty bright. So it's fitting.
That sounds kind of delightful.
Yeah, one of the first things I told him, I was like, purple's also one of my favorite colors.
Really?
The actual shade of the walls, I told him, I was like, that was my prom dress
nice.
Color.
Nice,
right. Yeah.
But tell us a little bit more about the vault. I always love when something's hidden away. What's in the vault?
Oh, yeah, the vault, Lisa. Yeah, so as Ellie mentioned, I mean, it's dark. You step in, there's a 8-minute video on loop. Now, the piece, it's called When I Stop Looking, and it's by Todd Edward Herman. And what you see is just a white background, and you see just people appear, just individuals or in pairs appear on screen. There are various ages, genders, racial identities. They've got various textures of skin as well as craniofacial differences. Mm-hmm. So they appear on screen for, you know, no more than about 30 seconds each, but it's all moving in slow motion.
Oh.
And it just goes from person to person. It just allows you to stare and just take in this person's face, and there's no sound, it's silent.
Wow.
And you would see a couple next, and they're kissing or embracing. It just moves so slowly, and it's so poetic, and it allows you to just kind of like have your mind sort of wander.
Was it calming? Calming?
Extremely calming. Oh. Extremely calming.
WBEZ's nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at UChicagoMedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work. Inspire change. Shape the future.
Sasha, I'm dying to hear some more about the pieces. What else stood out to you?
Oh, so much stood out. But in the interest of time, I'll talk about one piece in particular. It's called Subjective Acuity. It was by Aaron McPeak. So you see these four bronze rectangular pieces. Just to you, it's just going to look like they're just dangling in the middle of the exhibit. But they're suspended from the ceiling. And so each rectangular piece has letters of various sizes. It resembles an eye chart. You know, when you go and get your eye exam, right? And so it starts with the letters being bigger and then they go smaller and smaller. And so I was just attracted to that because I was like, oh, something familiar. But what's cool about it, it's really tapping into all your senses. So you touch the pieces and when they collide, they make noises, of course. So you're hearing noises. There's this, I didn't do this, but there's a residual effect on your hand after touching the pieces that you can smell. So it's triggering another sense.
A good smell.
Fair enough. Yeah. And then right sort of across from that was another piece called Can You Hear Me? This one, Ellie and I were both pretty attracted to this one. This was by Justin Dugan LeBlanc. And it was five golden monkeys. How else would you describe it, Ellie?
Yeah, five golden monkeys, and then there was a black and white ear that was also on the platform.
Right, I think that was the artist's hearing aid.
Yes, yes.
Was a part of the exhibit, but the monkeys had sort of their hands covering their ears, and you saw some gold bits that were sort of detached from the piece.
Yeah, a couple of the golden flakes were sitting on the platform, not on the monkeys themselves. And I asked Alex and Tanner if it was intentional because just ahead of that exhibit or piece was this bright, beautiful yellow crocheted piece. And it was not intentional, they said. It was kind of just a couple of pieces fell off in transit, but the gold and the yellow tied together so wonderfully and really made me think like how wonderful spontaneous design can be and how accidents are also really beautiful. But that piece that I loved was called Sight Sight by Ime Zhu. It was a crochet webs of orange and yellow and pieces of yarn.
Like a massive spider web.
Yeah, yeah. And in the middle of that spider web was an iPad that had this continuously generating yellow pattern. And apparently it was kind of representing slime mold.
Oh.
So it was super cool. And around that.
Fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think mold is honestly really beautiful.
When it's displayed in that way, I think it is.
Yeah. And around that piece were some yellow tactile pavings. So it was a super dynamic exhibit.
Well, this seems like a museum that's really hitting all your senses.
It is, right?
So Ellie, what do you think went into bringing all these pieces together?
Yeah, so Alex told us that they did an open call and then they worked with Tanner and others and the curation team to decide on where things should go. I think it was a pretty spontaneous, natural decision. Here's Tanner talking a bit about what went into designing the exhibit itself.
We think a lot about the way that people move through the gallery. So which way do we want them to walk in? Which way do we want them to walk out? How do we want them to experience pieces? And then we realize that once we open the show, we've lost all control.
So you plan one thing and then it's completely something
else. Pretty
much. Got it. All right. And so spontaneity is important then too?
Yeah, they really want to discover kind of what feels right as they're installing. So they told us that, you know, once they kind of set things up, things just felt right. The world felt right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Fair enough. Sasha, you mentioned earlier that this museum space, it undergoes a complete transformation after each exhibit.
Yeah.
That seems like a lot of work.
It does.
Talk a little bit about that. How can these exhibits live beyond their scheduled showtime?
Yeah, well, I want to make sure I let folks know that Voices Embodied Reverberations is showing only until October 13th. So mm-hmm. if you want to see this great stuff, you do have to go soon. But it really, when we talked to the folks behind the museum, they said, you know, they learn from the artists and the designers that they work with to make little changes to the space and make it more accessible for the community. I want to play just a quick snippet of Tanner again with one example of this.
Part of the practice working with Alex has been trying to figure out how our building is not accessible and trying to find ways to make it more accessible. For example, we brought through Vanessa Harris from Fund for the Disabled for a tour, and she quickly pointed out that she had a hard time getting in the building because there's a pothole right at the bottom of the wheelchair ramp. So we reached out to the Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities, and they were here within 2 weeks and filled the hole for us.
All right, so the building community, a big through line through all of this.
A big through line. I mean, you know, they really value design and what it can do to build community in all parts of the process, really.
Yeah, and Alex told us like his favorite part about putting together Voices Embodied was how he got to just meet other artists who are pushing the envelope all over the world.
Yeah, and Kevin mentioned it's just bringing lots of people together, like inside the space.
Being right at the corner of Michigan and Randolph, right across the corner from the Bean, we are seeing such a wide breadth of an audience, right? The unhoused to, you know, folks who are, you know, finance folks downtown, people who live, you know, right around the corner from us, to folks from, you name the corner of the globe that they're visiting us from.
All right, Sasha, how can people check out the Design Museum of Chicago?
Well, it is free and open to the public. I want Excellent. To make sure that that is clear.
Free is good.
Free and open to the public. It's open every day, 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Again, they're at 72 East Randolph. Go check it out.
We've been speaking with Reset host Sasha Ann Simons and production intern Ellie Gilbert-Bear. Thank you so much. This was great.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Ellie Gilbert-Bear and me. It was edited by Meha Ahmed and mixed by Ari Mejia. Every week, our producers check out a new museum off the beaten path. So if you're a bit of a history buff or you just love learning about Chicago's hidden gems, subscribe to the pod. You can also check out our full archive of conversations at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thank you for listening. We'll meet again this afternoon.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely.